Anyway, praise the Lord. Well, thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Amen. Amen. What'd I miss?
You mean Walmart actually existed back then?
Yes, yes. Way back then, there was a Walmart. But actually, Vicki and I saw Walmart before anybody up this part of the country knew Walmart. And they used to be like down south, you know, and they were really kind of a junky 5 and 10 cent store, sort of what they looked like. They weren't, you know, they've come a long way. And probably just because we stopped in when we were lost and got saved. Hallelujah. So anyway, praise God. I've just been hearing the goodness of God. Paula didn't even share her biggest praise report. She's waiting to share it after it's completed. But we are declaring with Paula absolutely that she's a shoe-in for an opportunity for a job in Belfouche. See, I've even overcome my initial response. I rebuke that and declare with her that it would be just great because then they would come back and visit us. But huh? Yeah, we'll get up satellite. Yes, we'll put we'll put Hosanna on satellite. You know, I do sometimes see churches like they'll have videos of their services, you know, on the internet, and they don't have many more people sitting there listening than we have sitting there listening, but they got thousands out there. So we'll work on that. But in the meantime, praise the Lord. I want to give thanks and I want to give honor to Dorn and Jeff. And Jeff for spearheading it, Dorn for showing up. Wayne stopped by and told us he was sorry he couldn't come. And I'm thankful for that, you know. But, and the thing about what you want to expect is you know, when we were first talking about doing this, Jeff had said he thought we could pretty much knock it out in a day. And I believed him. I said, if Jeff says we can do it, we can do it. You know, when we got done, Jeff admitted that he thought we probably could, but he didn't know it would go so well. But he declared the thing that it could be done. You know, and that's the important thing, that we declare the things of the Lord, that we expect the things of the Lord, and that we don't lose our expectations. Remember, we talked about keeping our focus. And about how, and when we talk about peace and how peace actually helps us keep our focus, because we have that peace of God that just keeps bringing us back to, wait a minute, God can handle it. God can handle it. You know, in Ephesians chapter 2, God is talking about that we're saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest anyone should boast. He talks about those who were spiritually dead in their sins and the things we did against God, and we were all at one time spiritually dead. And we can, the thing is that we can actually be a child of God and be spiritually dead, because a lack of knowledge will cause us to perish. But this was really spiritually dead. This is without God in the world. Yes, in the past your lives were full of sins. You lived in a way the world lives. You were following the ruler of evil powers over the earth. That same spirit is now working in those who refuse to obey God. In the past, all of us lived like that, trying to please our sinful selves. We did all the things everyone else in the world did. We deserved to suffer God's anger just because of the way we were. But God is rich in mercy, and He loved us very much. Now, notice He loved us very much then. When we were dead and doing everything against Him, He was rich in mercy and He still loved us then. You know, we all have people that we are merciful to. We all have people that run high enough on our list that we love them in spite of, no matter what they might do or say or be to us. There are some people we just refuse not to forgive. There are some people that we want so badly to forgive because we love them. And so there are some that we are actually godlike toward. But God wants us to be able to be that way toward everyone. And so even when we were in that other state, God was rich in mercy. And we were spiritually dead because of all we had done against Him, but He gave us new life together with Christ. Christ is a blanket life offered to everybody. It's just there. And that same blanket is what God offers us to offer the world. Because Christ is in you, your hope of glory, and not only your hope of glory, but the hope of many other people's glory as well. And so He gave us that. He said, you've been saved by God's grace. Yes, it's because we are part of Christ Jesus that God raised us from death and He seated us together with Him in heavenly places. We all know this. We can't really comprehend it. We can't really understand totally how it works. But He has seated us together with Him in heavenly places. And so that's our seat. And so it's like this. If you're at a ball game, like let's say you're at a professional ball game, or you're at a place where you have a seat that's an assigned seat, and that's your seat, and then you might get up to go to the restroom or go to the concession stand, but when you come back, you expect your seat. You expect to have your seat, to be able to sit back down there. And in fact, you expect it so much that if somebody else is sitting there, you'll explain that that's your seat. And even if they say, well, you weren't in it, you will say, but it is my seat. Because it's my seat. Right? You know? We aren't going to walk up and go 800 rows up to the top. No, we're going to say, this is my seat. If you get on an airplane and you have an assigned seat and someone just happens to think that they would like to have your seat better and they just sit in your seat, you will show them your ticket and you will say, this is my seat. I specifically picked that seat. For me, it would be something like this, that I went to all the trouble to figure out how to get that seating thing to work on the airline, and I picked my seat, and I have a confirmation that that's my seat, and my ticket is printed with my seat, and I want to sit in that seat. I don't want to sit in the aisle. I drink too much water. I have to pee. I need to be on that outside row, you know? And I'd want my seat. You know? Now, if in the midst of all that, the Lord said, go ahead, let him have the seat. Then I would say, I really want that seat, but God has told me that to let you have that seat. And so for some reason, God wants you to have that seat. And if for no other reason than for you to know that God cares about you. And I would sit wherever I needed to. But I've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, and sometimes, all the time, most times, but in the most uncharted times and places that we just don't know what's going on, we need to remember to take our seat. You know? Just go and sit down. You know, because that's where we've been seated. That's our real seat. And in that seat, transformation comes, changes comes. God's able to work freely and clearly while we sit in His presence. So yes, it's because we're part of Christ Jesus that God raised us from death. He seated us together. And God did this so that His kindness to us who belong to Christ Jesus would clearly show for all time to come the amazing richness of His grace. Okay, so He did it so that His kindness would show, surely, His kindness to us, that's to you and to me. This is in the easy-to-read version. He did it so that His kindness to us who belong to Christ Jesus would clearly show, so that His kindness to us would clearly show, that His kindness to us would be clearly evident. And so that means that He has kindness toward us. So what do we expect? What do we expect? That's what we want to talk about. Because what we expect is what we will say. There are lots of people in our current age that and they're just not knowing where the world's going to end up. We know where it ends up. We don't know how it's going to go. There are also lots of doomsday type prophet people that are, you know, and don't get me wrong, I'm not opposed to that. But here's the deal. What does God want us to say? Now, to those who God has assigned to be prophets to declare, you know, get your act together, that's absolutely right. But for us who believe, you see, there's a separation. God says, I'm going to show the difference between my people and the people of this world. Okay? So yes, I acknowledge that there's an end coming. I have no idea how it's going to happen. Some people do, or think they do. And that's fine. You know, I mean, I'm just ready, so it doesn't make a great deal of difference to me. But I think of what Peter said, what sort of people ought we be, seeing the times are this way? So then, should we be a people running around yelling the sky is falling? Or should we be a people running around and saying there's a roof overhead? Lord, you are a shield to me. You're my glory and the lifter of my head. And when I'm feeling like I can't see the roof, when I'm feeling like I'm not enjoying the shadow, then I need to go sit down because next to him is the right place. And I need to be so comfortable, so assured, so confident in this, that then that is what I say. You know, just like I said, okay, Jeff said, I think we can knock it out in a day. I never thought about knocking it out in a day until he said we can knock it out in a day. Because I just never figured in that way. Now, I knew that it might be possible, and I knew that especially if, you know, if enough people could show up, it would, but you know, it worked out just about right. And I think Jeff would agree with me that we're real glad that Dorn showed up after the first side was done because it was going to be a lot more work. I think we'd have still got both sides on, but I think they'd be just tacked on. Because, but you know, we did, but you know, and because of his declaration, I expected it. And that has something to say about what we expect and what we say and the influence that it has on others as well. As Paula shares about the double and Bernie talking about the double, and then you can just see she was energized by the double, you know, and that's so exciting. That is so exciting. When we know God, it's so exciting because if we're smart, we'll catch that. You know? I mean, we won't just say, oh, that's nice for them. We'll say, yeah, 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 yeah. See? When Barb's talking about her eyes being better and about cataracts, I'm thinking cataracts gone. Cataracts go. Not just not grow, just go. Not grow ain't bad, but just go. Yeah. Because you don't have any use for them. No. You know. I mean, I sometimes lose things I even have use for. I couldn't find my caulking gun yesterday, and I didn't look anymore after that either. You know, I had a use for it, but my determination was that I'm going to buy a better one. Because I don't even remember which one I had anymore. I think my best one disappeared with the guys that did my roof. That's okay, you know. But here's the thing. As Christians, we are really encouraged to have high expectations. In fact, we're sort of commanded to have high expectations because of who we serve, because of who he is. We are told that. And so God is good and kind, and everything that he says, we can expect him to do. And not only that, but he says he can do abundantly above what we can hope or imagine. So even other things that are not expressly written, you know? There is no place in the Bible, although I insert my name in a lot of places, there's no place where God specifically mentions Roger. Apparently it wasn't a common name then. But I insert that name in anywhere that I like. I will insert it and say, Roger, you need to do this. I will insert it and say, Roger, this is for you. I will insert it. I got Roger in my Bible. I'm not going to write a Roger version. I'm not going to put one out to prove that Roger's in the Bible. I'm not going to declare that an angel came and told me I should write a Roger version. It's not the easy Roger version. It's the easy to read version. But ERV might be the easy Roger version because I like that. But, you know, to insert our names, it's not ridiculous. It's expected for us to insert our names in that Word of God and declare that over ourselves. Because if we can believe that through Christ Jesus we are saved, then every other thing is easy. You see, we think that was easy and everything else is hard, but the truth of the matter is, everything else is easier than that one. At least just as easy. Actually easier. Why? Because we were saved by knowing nothing, but by receiving it. Now we're supposed to know something. And the more we know, and the more we declare, the more we find ourselves resting there. Where? There. You know? I'm seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I got a seat right next to the Lord. You know, and I've told people, and I've told you this before too, but I'm tremendously encouraged as I consider Google and its computer memory search engine. And the reason for that is because it's just a little glimpse of how in the world God manages to keep track of everybody and what everybody likes and what everybody says, because they got it, man. You know, it just amazes me that I click on a website and over on the side is a picture of something that I have looked at with a considering purchasing. I'm going, hey, they know everything. You know? But I look at that and I say, that's God, man. People can't understand how God does what God does. Look at Google. It's a glimpse. It's not all of it, but it's a glimpse. It's only a small portion. Because Google can only show me the picture of what I thought about purchasing. God can give it to me. Okay. So what do you expect? What do we expect from God? See, we have a tendency to be a little cautious about expecting too much. And that's because there's always something that rises up to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Because at some time or another in our life, we've had our hopes delayed. I won't say shot down. Delayed. Things happen. Stuff goes on. But if we'll keep our focus and we'll go on the power of the peace of God that passes understanding, and we'll begin to continue to declare the thing, we'll realize that, there's a little longer delay than I want. But still, God's faithful. Because this is God's desire. This is God's desire that his goodness toward me would impress people. His goodness toward you would impress people. His faithfulness to you would cause people to wonder why. Why is it good for you? And that's so that you can say, because God's good. And that goodness isn't just for me, it's for everybody. And because we have such confidence in God, we want that goodness to come pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing to people. We hope that they get more goodness than God's shown us, because that'll be to our credit. Because we just know that God's able to do something wonderful. We just know that God's able to take care of it. And so that's what we continue to say. God knows what He's doing. I'm just sitting here in my heavenly place, declaring a thing, expecting a thing, trusting in God. Just saying to God, God, oh yes, Lord, let your goodness come toward me to impress somebody. Just let your goodness shine so bright that somebody says, wow, how come you got that confidence? Oh, because I've just been expecting God to do something. See, the enemy wants us to continue to declare the thing that is not, as though it will never be. And God wants us to declare the thing that is not as though it is. I'll be okay. We'll make it. Because God's able. His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so even when I don't notice that I'm weak, I need Him. And as I get weaker, I need Him more. And as I get weak, I say, oh, baby, something good's about to happen. Because this is what God has promised. We believe God. This is what Paul said. I just believe God. In the most terrible of situations, I believe God. This is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know that He hears us. So He wanted to show His kindness to us that belong to Christ, everyone, everywhere, forever. The amazing richness of His grace. See, the world does not have a clue about the amazing richness of His grace. Most of what the world has a clue about is what we knew about God before we knew God. That He probably does exist. Hell's probably real. And I'm probably going there. But I don't like to think about that, so I'll just ignore that if all possible. You know? And we knew God only as God who could catch us doing everything wrong. And it was really scary to think that He knew about wrong things we didn't even know about. Because we didn't know anything about the richness of His grace. We didn't know that He poured out a blanket salvation. We didn't know that His desire was to save us and woo us and draw us to that place where we love and trust Him so much that we actually believe that what He's doing for us is because He loves us and He's actually forgotten our sins. And so the world doesn't know much about that. That's sad, but what's sadder is a lot of the church has no idea about that either. And in fact, when you do know about that kind of stuff, a lot of times people who only know God as a hope to someday get to heaven sort of a person, they will revile you for thinking such wonderful, loving, kind things about God. They'll think that you've gotten carried away expecting God to be kind. You'll think that you've gotten carried away because they think that the only mercy that any of us get is that, well, if we believe in Jesus, He's forgiven us our sins, but the rest of the story is like foreign. And part of that is because of low expectations. Is it because a fear of expectations being quashed, not coming to pass? It's because of a fear of disappointment. And so, because in the world they feel like they'll always be disappointed, they're very hesitant to think that in the kingdom they won't be disappointed. Because everybody says God just disappoints them. Isn't mostly, except for people who know, mostly what you hear is God has disappointed them. God gave me cancer. That's kind of disappointing. But those, we don't know why God gave you this. Man, that's an insult. That's not nice, you know? And so then everybody catches on to that, you know? You can have a Facebook post that says, man, God is good all the time, and you have about 3 likes and no comments. But throw one up of how God did this and I'm so miserable. Oh, I know how you feel. Oh, there's 10,000 comments about, oh, I know, I've been there. I just know how that is. But we know God will see us through. I think God must say things like, gag me with a spoon when that kind of stuff comes up. I mean, give me a break. Don't you know anything about what the Word of God... People, read your Bible! You know? Or believe somebody that does. Just give it a try. Test and see that the Lord is good. Try me, you'll like me. I mean, this is God saying, my mercy and my kindness. I wanted my goodness toward you to impress the whole wide world forever. And your response is, God stepped on my foot. And when I bent over, he gave me an uppercut. And I'm a better person for it. I've never had any improvement out of being stepped on the foot or given an uppercut, you know, because that's not what God says that he'll do. He said, in my mercy, I'll carry you. When you call upon me, I will answer you. Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. All of this so that we would know what to really expect from God. Because when we expect those things from God, then no matter what happens, we are quick to give him the glory. And so we start to look for little places to give him glory. You know, our neighbors are gone, so my wife can run around in her jammies outside. I don't know why I threw that in. But anyway, but we're outside this morning. Oh, come and see. You know, she had to show me that one of her little lilies was blooming. See? Because she's, you know, and that was a gift from God. Because she was declaring that they were going to bloom while she was gone. I said, why don't you just declare one to open up now? And, you know, and she's a little concerned that they'll all be dead when she gets back, but she's not. She knows I will water them. And I will talk to them. And I will encourage them along their way. And I will say to them, now remember, we really have to have a good show for Vicky when she gets home. So everybody do your best, you know. And I'm going to send her pictures every day. And if I'm going to send her pictures every day, they better be looking better every day, not wrinkling up, you know. I give her a hard time. I said she always picks the hottest time of the year to leave. Leaves me with a multitude of watering that I love, by the way. And I'm so thankful to have my opportunity at it because she always does it when she's here. I speak by faith. Hallelujah. Amen. So, anyway, if we know this, then this should be what's coming up out of our lives. And it's what we should be striving toward. Because we are people of faith. We are people who love God and are people who are wanting to know and to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are people who, when we hear a thing, the Bible says those come to know by hearing and hearing the Word of God. When we hear a thing, we put it into our repertoire. We practice the thing. And as we practice the thing, we behold the glory of God because God's faithful. Because God has said what he will do. And so when we hear it, then it's kind of like what I said when I read my Bible, I insert Roger in it. And when we hear it, then we say, yeah. See, when I hear it, when I read this morning, when I read this scripture, that jumped out at me more than it has before, that he wants his goodness to come toward me. Now, I have a glimpse of his goodness toward me, but this has challenged me to allow him to be gooder and to declare his goodness more. Because that is the thing. At every opportunity, be prepared to express the reason for the hope that is within you. So we start out with the expectation, which causes people to see that we have the hope, and then we can declare why we have the hope. And we guard our mouths, and we guard our minds, and we guard ourselves against saying those things that take away from what God is wanting to do. We should say what we desire, not what we fear. And we should say what we desire until we expect it, not hope for it. You know? I think it's cool. I just thought it was cool that Jeff said it went better than he expected. You know? I didn't say, well, man, I'm waiting until we got it done. No, he said a thing. He said, we can do this thing. Huh? Yeah. Hey, he was an excellent foreman. He just kept trucking and trucking and trucking. And Dorn was like a little squirrel up and down the roof with the screws. And we were putting the stuff on. And yeah, amen, you know. I have to say that after the first side of the roof, I'm thinking, okay, legs, don't fail me now. And I was sort of wishing we wouldn't have stopped to eat because I couldn't bend my legs for a while, but I said, God, you got to help me. I can't quit now. Get rid of them cramps. I went and drank a half a bottle of mustard. Anyway, yeah, that's just another story, but it helps with Charlie horses. Vicky says that's gross, but I can eat that mustard. So anyway, whatever the case might be, listen, we only know a little bit of the goodness that God wants to show to us and reveal through us. We only know a little bit. Even if we've experienced great things, it's still only a little bit compared to what he's got left. And those are the things that we should focus on. Those are the things that we should expect, because those are the things that are going to bring the glory to God. And in a world that is in a position where, I mean, I can't get my mind around people that would shoot down a civilian airliner. My brain won't function around something that evil. I haven't spent a lot of time trying to figure out the scenario, but for the most part, I can't figure out how that did anybody any good. Certainly not 298 people and their families and all that. I mean, how or why? And so, you know, we know that righteousness and unrighteousness are going to become so clear. It's becoming black and white. Gray is pretty much disappearing. Because as the eyes of our understanding are opening, we're seeing, you know, I mean, people are beginning to see that abortion is black. There's not very many people that still see a gray area in that. Murder's murder, you know. It's a little segment. They're still yelling like crazy, you know. They're like the Wizard of Oz standing behind a curtain. But you know, the black is in the black and the white is in the white. You know, it's starting to get clearer and clearer and clearer. And so when you have things like this, it's like, whoa, we better get on a side. And we know the winning side. We know the way. And I expect that there could be a lot of trouble. But I expect to be taken care of in that trouble. I expect to be covered. I expect to not only survive, but I expect to thrive. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? I don't know how. I have no idea how. And I know that as the Spirit of God is with me and upon me, that as I thrive, it won't be just so I can thrive, but it will be to help other people thrive. But I really expect good things. I refuse to sit around in fear and trembling. I'm not going to blow my brains out so I can get out in a hurry, you know. I mean, I really do. I expect, and I believe that when we expect good things of God, that we are not expecting on an empty, unconcerned, distant God. But we're expecting upon a Father who says, "This is why I did it all. So that my people who are called by my name will call on my name. Believing, because all things are possible to them that believe. And if you can believe, all things are possible." This is what we should dwell on. This is what we should expect. And then we should give much glory to God in the tiniest and the largest of things. Amen. Lord, we do have high expectations of you. We do. And forgive us when we have lowered our expectations of you, when we have compromised the truth of who you are, when we have feared when we should have been warring against the fear, when we have doubted when we should have been trusting, forgive us, Lord. And today, Holy Spirit, seal in us a continual reminder of high expectations in Christ Jesus. For this is why you did what you did, so that your goodness toward us would be a billboard to the world. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.